This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
The question I want you to think about, and it's on your notes, is how many people do you think know the real you? And I hear laughter. You know, what I have read about icebergs, which I'm sure you were just reading about icebergs today, so I hope this isn't repetitious for you, but what I've read about icebergs is that icebergs, when they float in the ocean, you only see 10%. And that what's really dangerous to a ship is all that's underneath the waterline. You know, we all want to be liked and to be respected. And the reality is, I have the me you can see. That's what's above the waterline. And then I have the me that you can't see. Unless I choose to be vulnerable, unless I choose to be humble and enter into some kind of relationship that allows you to see that. Now, you know, many of you saw the movie you've heard about in history, the Titanic. It was billed as the unsinkable ship. One individual said it was a ship that not even God could sink, which if anyone says that about a ship you're about to get on, don't get on that ship. And on its maiden voyage, April 14th, 1912, 1,500 people died when that ship went under. And what had happened was, under the waterline, it ran into an iceberg and cut about a 300-foot gash in what was then the greatest ocean liner in the world. And I want you to understand that what's below the waterline is really what's most important. And you have a little diagram that comes from a book that I like by Patrick Morley. And it's a book actually aimed at men, but I think this applies to both men and women. What he has is he has kind of the visible you, and usually it's the more shallow things. And then you get below the waterline and you start looking at the real you. This is, you know, the unexamined life, the parts of your life that maybe you haven't looked at, secret thought life, purposes, priorities, goals, ambitions, motives. I mean, just think about your thought life. I don't know, I like Star Trek, and in one of the versions of Star Trek, there's this Deanna Troi who can read minds. And I always thought, you know, what a nightmare to be around all of you and be able to read your minds, you know, or you to read my minds. I don't want to know. And, you know, the reality is that the real you is often very different than the public you. And accountability is what help brings that into line, is what helps it change. And there are all these things underneath, you know, relationships, your Lord, your home life, use of time and money, moral and ethical behavior, pride, fear, anger, problems, suffering, discouragement. All these things that are below the waterline and are so important if we're going to move forward. Now, we tend to assume the best about ourselves. And I think that there's some, you know, that's allowed. I mean, we are made in the image of God. That's true. And that's important. And it's why all should be treated with dignity and respect. But we have to be careful. We won't just focus on the passages of Scripture we like, because we're also broken. We're also born, you know, with a sin taint, you know, that there's kind of like a bent that we're born with. I never had to sit down with my five children once and teach them how to be selfish, how to be disobedient. Never had to do it. They knew how to do that. That came with the wiring. Because we live in a fallen, broken world. And Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And I love that passage because it's such a reminder, because how many TV shows, how many Disney movies, how many things have you heard in this culture telling you over and over again to follow your heart? But the Scripture tells you that your heart is deceitful. Now, that's completely opposite. Now, according to the Scripture, that once we come to Christ, we're given a new heart. And so I think our desires and the things that within us, I think there begins to be a change. And so understand that. But, you know, we're not told that because that's negative. Accountability acknowledges the negative in our life. Accountability is so important. Paul Tripp, an author, he says, we are our own biggest problem. And I love what John Maxwell says. He says this, we are all just one step away from stupid. Isn't that true? One step away from stupid. In our lives, we all have addictions or what I call a signature sin or some, you know, my parents and grandparents would talk about besetting sins, to use old religious terminology. And all of us, it seems, have areas where we struggle, where we keep having to deal with things. And really one of the great pieces is accountability. And that's why Stan asked me to talk to you about this tonight. I mean, for instance, we go on Wednesdays to North Star and, you know, lots of folks struggle with drug addiction, alcohol addiction at North Star, but sitting there, unless they've been very, very clever, they're clean and sober. Why is that? Because they have a heavy, heavy dose of forced accountability in that setting. They're tested and they do fine and they're clean for a while. But if you remove that forced accountability, then what happens? Often they go right back. Not always, but often. And so we have to be humble enough and desire change enough that we invite accountability into our life, that we have voluntary accountability. Now, Robert Fulghum, in his book about kindergarten rules, and he said basically he learned everything he needed to learn in life in kindergarten. One of the lines he says is, when you go out into the world, watch out, hold hands, and stick together. And that's really what accountability is about. It's sticking together, allowing someone else in your life, others in your life, to get close enough to you to help you see the blind spots, to help you see the inconsistencies, where what you're saying is not matching up with what you're doing. And I want to just give you really quite a few accountability scriptures so you don't just think this is a great idea or a good idea, but that it's a scriptural idea, that it's God's idea. Hebrews 12:1 talks about, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I've heard that, you know, some say, well, that's the Christians that have died and they're watching from heaven and they're watching our race. And that could be. But I also think that there's a great cloud of witnesses here, and that you do better if you run the race with others. If they watch you and you watch them. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend. Is there anybody close enough in your life that you will allow them and invite them to say the hard thing? And I'm curious, just can you pull up somebody's picture in your mind? Because if you can't, if you can walk away with one thing tonight, it's I want you to be able to pull up somebody, to pray for that, to think about that, to really wrestle with it. Who could I be that friend whose wounds could trust? Because none of us like this. None of us like someone sitting down with you eye to eye and saying, you know what, you're really inconsistent in this area in your life. We don't enjoy that. We're not excited about that. But it's what helps us and helps us grow. You know, Superman had kryptonite. And don't you think all of us, in a sense, have kryptonite? Do you know what your kryptonite is? Sometimes you don't. You don't even know what it is until somebody points it out, because they look at the pattern and you've allowed them in your life close enough and long enough that they can help you see that kryptonite. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One of the ways that we carry each other's burdens is to help them with the struggles we have. Now, the recovery community, honestly, I think does this better often than even the church. And that is because there's an acknowledgement that, hey, life as I've been doing it isn't working. And I need some people to come alongside me to help me so that life begins to work. Philippians 2:4 says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Don't invite someone into your life who's what I call a professional confronter, the person who enjoys confronting you about things. You probably want to keep a good distance from that individual. You want someone who loves you, someone who cares about you, someone who desires your good. Anybody can step into your life and start taking shots. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who cares enough about you that you know that they want what is best. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, we're almost done. I just wanted to give you a block of scripture. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Howard Bell once said that living the Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. And the reality is that it's not about me becoming we. It's a lot more than that. It's us becoming him, becoming Christ-like, being changed and to look more like him. You know, accountability has been called the missing link in Christianity. And often if you find a person who's not moving forward in their life, in whatever this area that they want to change, whether it's an addiction, whether it's just spiritual growth in general, often the piece that's missing, the link that's not there, is accountability. Now, you know, we see this. I started building more accountability into my life because I looked around and I saw how many Christian leaders, to be honest, who didn't finish well. Have you seen that? They do okay for a while, but they don't finish well. They don't last through the marathon of life. That's one of the reasons I tried to start building accountability into my life, is because I want to finish well. I want to be consistent, and it's crucial and it's important. Now, you've probably been in a cave. I am from Indiana and was born in Kentucky, and I kept my shoes on tonight despite that Kentucky birth. But anyway, and Mammoth Cave is a place, and you know what they tell you and is that these caves and certain things in the cave are formed by just little drips of water over long periods of time. And that's often how we fall. That's often how we find our character compromised, is little drips of water over long periods of time. And it might be something that's not big enough for us to even realize or notice unless we build accountability into our life. Now, I've been talking about accountability a lot. Let me give you a definition. I think it's in your notes, but it's this: to be regularly answerable for each of the key areas of our lives to qualified people. See, definitions matter. The other day I was talking to a lady and she was telling me the difference between sugar cookies and snickerdoodles. I did not know this. What's the difference between sugar cookies and snickerdoodles? And she said, well, it's cream of tartar. And I thought she meant tartar sauce. And I'm like, really? There's tartar sauce in snickerdoodles? So definitions matter. They're very different things. So accountability is to be regularly answerable for each of the key areas of our lives to qualified people. In the business world, if you hold a job, often you're given a lot of freedom in the business world, but there's accurate, regular reporting to bosses, to stockholders, to other employees. And you'll have freedom as long as you make those reports, as long as you submit to that piece of accountability, to be regularly answerable to people. Now, in Scripture, we find that accountability is built in, and a lot of folks embraced it. Many did not. David is an interesting story in the Scripture. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet you look at David's life and there was a lot of messiness. But I think he's a man after God's own heart because he was willing to repent when called on things, because he invited, or at least allowed, that's probably the better word, allowed accountability. See, David became the king, and if you're the king, you're probably not real open to accountability, to being called on your stuff. But David had a prophet named Nathan. And you remember the story, most of you, but if you don't, David was this king, and it was a time for war. He was supposed to go be leading the troops. Well, he wasn't. He stayed home, saw a beautiful woman bathing next door, ends up seducing her, having an affair with her, then tries to cover it up by having her husband killed. Terrible story, a blight on his reputation and record as a man of God. And he got away with it, to be honest, for quite some time. But God knew. And so he told Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet came and told him a story and got David to convict himself. And so David admits to the problem and he's able to move forward. He's able to change his life. Now, what's interesting is that David actually, I think, embraced this, what many would view as criticism, but I would say accountability. And as a matter of fact, after this incident, it looks like to me, I think it's after the incident, he names one of his sons Nathan. Now, I'm going to date myself here, but I think most of you are in my age range and you'll get this. It's kind of like Bill Clinton naming a son Kenneth Starr Clinton. I mean, stop and think about it. But that's what David does. He embraces this accountability and he tries to change his life. And it can be in lots of areas. That was an area of moral failure. It can be an area of balance. That's a big one for a lot of us. Moses was held accountable. He was confronted by Jethro, his father-in-law, who looked at all that Moses was doing as a leader and how he's hearing all these cases of, you know, a couple million people, all their disputes, and they're all coming to Moses. And Jethro says, what you're doing is bad. You know, Moses expected to be patted on the back for working so hard. And Jethro basically says, you're going to burn out. You need to set up men who know the law. You need to set up men who can handle this. And so he gets into his son-in-law's life and makes a suggestion, and Moses runs with it. We see prophets in the Old Testament in general who confront their nation. And we see in the New Testament, we see Peter and Paul both understood that the gospel was for not only Jews, but for Gentiles as well. Paul was the champion of this, but Peter, he had kind of been the one that first brought the gospel to the Gentiles, to the home of Cornelius, and we see this whole household accept the gospel. What had been a Roman, you know, probably pagan, at least for a time, household, comes to Christ, and Peter did that. He knew that God loved everybody, that God desired everyone to be in his kingdom. And then later we see that Peter was eating and fellowshipping with the Gentiles. That would be most of us. And then some folks who came from kind of the hard Jewish group show up, and Peter starts only eating with the Jews, the Jewish believers, and leaves out the Gentile believers. I love it because here you have Peter, who's one of the prominent apostles, and Paul gets in his face and calls him out on it. See, that's accountability. I doubt that the first thing that morning that Peter was like, I really hope that my fellow apostle Paul, the late bloomer of the bunch, the one who opposed the church and was converted later, I hope he comes and calls me on this. Probably not. But it was good for him and it was good for the kingdom and it mattered. See, not everything that we like is good for us and not everything that we dislike is bad for us. And so we need to embrace accountability because if we don't, Christianity basically becomes Nicianity, and it's not the same thing. Nicianity is not going to cut it, especially if you're struggling with addictions. Somebody has to say something to you to help. And you have to be that person for others in your circle that they've allowed you. I always stop and ask myself, before I'm going to say something, if I feel called to say something, I say, have I built a strong enough bridge in this relationship to withstand what I'm about to say? And if I haven't, I don't say it. But if I have, I walk across with boldness. At least that's what I try to do. I think that's helpful. And for me, it's a helpful image because we're all called to move forward. We all have blind spots. I'm teaching my 14-year-old daughter how to drive. I've only screamed a girly scream once when she almost went through the front of her house. But other than that, and she's done great, other than that, you know, part of teaching her to drive is teaching her about blind spots, teaching her about those on bicycles who come very quickly. Like, you've looked over here, but now here comes the bicycle, and they're going to cross right when you're going to turn right, or whatever it might be. And so that's part of accountability and helping her grow. So, you know, back to my definition, to be regularly answerable for each of the key areas of our lives to a qualified people. So, regularity. Now, my own practice is I sit down with an older minister once a month, and he can ask me anything. We cover certain areas, and I have found that very helpful. I will tell you, though, that if you really want to move forward, probably need more than monthly accountability. You know, that's more of a maintenance kind of accountability. As a matter of fact, if you're in a full-blown battle with an addiction, you know, AA will tell you 90 meetings in 90 days, those kinds of things. And so if you need to make a major change in a particular area, often you have to turn up the dial on accountability. We need to be answerable, humble enough to actually listen. We need to actually listen to what the person said and not immediately be defensive and try to shut them down. And sometimes you'll do that, and you have to go home, process it, and then make a call and say, thank you. I needed that. I know I didn't act like I needed it, but I did. And make that call later. It needs to be to qualified people, people that you respect, people that you want to be like. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And so you want to spend time with people you want to be like, people who are qualified to help you grow and move forward. So if you're battling a particular addiction, you want somebody in your life who's further down that road, mentor, sponsor, whatever you want to call that person. You want some people in your life, and I think this is important, don't stay in just the recovery ghetto. Be with some people who never struggled in that area. Be with those folks as well. Look for people. You may have people who are qualified to help hold you accountable in different areas of your life. Just one little caution I would throw out. If you're a woman, I would look for accountability relationships with women. If you're a man, I'd look for accountability relationships with men, because you don't need that extra whole complication and temptations that can come in mixing that. Now, I know that can be a little challenging. For instance, AA, my understanding is it's all mixed, but you can still kind of, you know, look at who you're going to really work with and allow some close. Qualified people need to be trustworthy people. I think of the old get-together, you know, a couple ministers decided, you know what, we need some accountability in our life, we need to move forward, and yet it's hard to be open and vulnerable with our congregation. So four ministers got together, and one minister said, you know, I'm really struggling with, you know, with this. And he shared his struggle was lust and pornography. And the next minister said, well, I'm really struggling with, you know, with this. And he shared that he was really having some issues with alcohol. And then the next, you know, minister shared a real struggle. And then the fourth minister looked at them all, and he said, you know, I really struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. But if you're going to be allowing accountability in your life, you got to have trustworthy people. Somebody can keep their mouth shut, because accountability should not be done on Facebook. You get the point? Accountability is with qualified people. And if you have a couple of those in your life, count yourselves blessed. Pray for that person. Try to find that person. I would make this decision very carefully after prayer. I would not just pick people at random, because accountability is going to be something that goes deep. Now, let me give you a little bit about the why of accountability. And once again, these are not, there's certain Bible verses that I call them refrigerator Bible verses. And what I mean by that is they're the verses that we laminate and we stick up on the refrigerator because those make us feel good. We like those. We're excited about those. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, you know, give you hope. Those kinds of verses. And I love those verses, and those are in the scripture. Let me give you a couple that aren't necessarily on anybody's refrigerator that I know, but this gives us a little bit about accountability that's important. Matthew 12:36, Jesus speaking. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Or what about Romans 14:12? So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So see, the ultimate reason to be interested in accountability is because being interested in accountability here is because there is accountability there before God and in heaven, the day of judgment. Romans 2, verse 6 and verse 16 says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. You jump down to 16. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Now, we're going to be careful with this because we believe in a God of grace and love, and he will wipe the slate clean. But we do need to understand we're going to answer for our lives. It's going to be very, very clear. Kind of the way I wrestle with this and work this out is I think maybe what's going to happen is there's going to be, okay, so here's the video of your life, and you get to watch it. Nobody else is around, just you and him. And it's unedited. Here we go. And then he goes, now you're going to, so once you're done with that video, you fully appreciate the new revised video, which is your righteousness in Christ, and you get his video. And I don't know. I mean, that's my own image, my own way of kind of dealing with these concepts. But I think the idea is that we're going to stand before God, and we are going to appreciate grace. And grace is going to be good news. And we're going to love that, and we're going to appreciate that. Now, just to give you a little image of accountability, Congressman Bill Nelson from Florida, who once flew on the Columbia space shuttle, he talked about how when you're in orbit in the space shuttle, that orbit is a very tricky thing, that there's not a lot to hold a spaceship in orbit. And so the computers are constantly making course adjustments. And they have these little small rockets and a couple bigger rockets that will fire to constantly keep the spaceship where it needs to be. If not, it can just, you know, tumble out of orbit. And I think if you understand accountability, that's those little rockets and then that occasional big rocket that has to be fired in order to keep us in orbit around our Savior and around health and wholeness and growing to be all that we should be. And the results of accountability are that we find freedom and sobriety and community as a result. Then I just want to give you a practical thing. And you're adults. I'm not going to read through all this by any stretch. But if you look at the papers, I just give you, how would you even start this with somebody if you haven't done this? And so I just give you a sample that came from the author that I mentioned earlier, Patrick Morley. I just tweaked what he had a little bit. And it's just some questions. You know, how has God blessed you this week, or what went right? And then what problem has consumed your thoughts this week? What went wrong? And so I just give you that as a starting point. And if you prayed about it and thought about it, and there's somebody in your life that you could invite in, and this is a precious gift that they're going to bring to you, accountability, and it's a vulnerable thing for you to do this, this gives you maybe a starting point. It gives you some sample questions. You can come up with your own. You can mix it up. There's no big legalistic thing here that, you know, you have to take Derek's sheet and do this. But I will tell you that if you will actually invite somebody in your life, and I will also say this, in studies I've seen, when the church promotes accountability, only about 15% of people will step up and actually implement it in their life. And I will just encourage you and say, be part of the 15%. Because that's most likely who's going to grow, who's going to finish well, who's going to be transformed. And so I just want you to look at this and think about it. And I just wanted to give you this tool that I think will help you. You see, we're all called to be disciples of Christ, to be apprentices to him, to be learners. Let's be humble enough to learn from him and from each other. I need accountability. You need accountability. And so this is an important piece. So I just want to give you that, and I'd just like to close in prayer again. Dear God, thank you for giving us safe people in our lives. Lord, I pray for each person here that they would find at least one person, maybe even in this room, who is safe, that they can go to, that they can be vulnerable with, that they can be honest, so that they can receive the feedback they need to be changed. Lord, I just pray that each person here would move forward. We all have different struggles, different vices, different things that draw us and pull us down. But Lord, help us to take bold steps to move forward. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I heard one author say, feedback is the breakfast of champions. And I encourage you to eat. Eat that breakfast, all right?
As we're getting things rearranged up here, I just want to tell you, this last song that we're going to do is meant to be an encouragement for you guys. I don't know about you, but my weeks have been filled up since it got warm and the sun shining and all that stuff. And sometimes I just feel like I'm surviving. I'm just getting through. And then Sunday comes and I put my head down and I get through the next one. But you know what? God wants us to do more than that. He wants us to thrive. And in Jeremiah 17, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for the leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So this is our encouragement for you guys this week. Don't just try and put your head down and get through. We want you to plant your roots, and we want you to green up and bear fruit and just thrive, because that's really where God wants us to be.
Many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. Show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.